Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What is going on, Thunder fans? It is that time of year again. For the first time in almost 5 years, the Thunder are back in the playoffs. And BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. From MLB golf, the MLB and NHL playoff stats, all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Topic Worst One Seed in NBA History. I'm your host, Dylan Hunsinger at Thunder Chats. We're part of the B-Leading Network. This podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. You guys know what it is. It's actually Top Thunder Podcast. Just had to get that jab in there because, you know, vibes are high. Vibes are immaculate right now. Thunder up 3-0 with their victory against the Pelicans today. And I am joined by a couple lovely gentlemen. First, we got the man, the myth, legend, the Underscone. He won a bet today. He won some money. He's back in his state of New York. Connor, what up, Con?
Not much. I was just watching our intro video, and I was thinking, we have so many moments from this year to add to that. When this year wraps up, we're going to have to really revamp that with all the new stuff, whether it's you know, the Shea game winner against Denver, some of these playoff moments that we've already had, and I'm sure we're going to continue to have with the Shea shot against the Pelicans in game one. Man, it's crazy. But yeah, doing good. You know, again, vibes are high, up 3-0. Didn't expect anything less from this team. They're just way better than the Pelicans. It's really not close. Despite what people like Kendrick Perkins and Bill Simmons would have told you before that, oh, I like kind of like the value on the Pelicans still being the Thunder without Zion Williamson and, you know, Kendrick Perkins saying the Thunder can still lose to the Pelicans. It's not possible. Thank you, Tierney, for the quick flash up there in the Jumbotron. Yeah, Kendrick Perkins saying might have been a blessing in disguise that the Pelicans dropped those two games against the Lakers, getting this eighth seed because they have a legit shot of beating the Thunder without Zion. Carry on. Well, they have carried on to an 0-3 deficit in which they have now lost by back-to-back 20-plus point games. And in game one, the Thunder had like their worst game of the season, and they still won. So this is where we're at the moment. They have not scored more than 92 points through the first three games. Huge shout to the defense. And yeah, you know, feeling great. Excited to see who we end up playing in the second round, whether it is the Mavs or the Clippers, because I think we can take them, even though, again, Twitter's not really giving us a chance. So
absolutely. And just want to say shout out to the other member joining us, Matt Tierney. He is awake for this one. Awesome to have you on here, Tierney. And as you can see, our production has already just stepped up tremendously with Tierney on the pod. Got the tweet clips on here. Got the intro before the intro video on here. So yeah, shout out to Tierney. Welcome back to the pod, sir.
Well, I have to confess, I was going to mention the Perkins tweet when you introduced me, and then Connor or Cone mentioned it, so I just like threw it up there. So I don't get that much credit. That. I don't get much. I just got to be honest about that. But I got to say, like, yeah, I want to be on all of these playoff post game podcasts. I definitely did not do my part in staying up for the last two ones. And so I was thinking, like, what could I do differently? And I didn't really have anything crazy, but I came today with handwritten notes.
Oh my god.
Is that Alex Roy? You can see, I have multiple pages of observations. And I want to be clear, these are not like Shea had however many points, or like Giddy had this many rebounds. This is like my observations that have no actual meaning, but are just like interesting things that I observed, or I don't know, whatever things I thought I was interesting in the moment. And I'm going to be sprinkling these in throughout our podcast today. So I thought this would be a way to apologize. Well, this is mostly to Dylan, because I said I was going to be on the last two and I didn't. So this is like me trying to bring a little bit more to the table today. So that's what I have today. And I'm going to just sprinkle it in and see how it goes. We'll just kind of test the waters.
It's all good. We're glad you're here, Tierney. Yeah, the first time I called you like three times, you didn't answer. And I was like, oh, he's asleep.
I was definitely asleep.
Last time, yeah. I was like, we haven't heard from Tierney in like 30 minutes before the game ended. I was like, Tierney's probably asleep.
And definitely he was asleep. Yep. Tapping times.
I'm all good. Back. Yeah, you're here now. Excited for the new dimension. It's kind of funny. You was mentioning the intro video and how much has to change. We're actually probably going to have to put to bed the Get Back intro because, you know, we're nearing the threshold of monetization, and we can't be getting C&D'd every video if we want that to happen. So it was a heck of a ride, man.
We'll have to find a different song. We can still do it just with a different song.
No. The video, we'll definitely have the video. It's just, you know.
Okay, I'm just making sure you're not killing the video, because the video is hype. We need that. But yeah, probably don't want to deal with the DMCA of that every single time.
Absolutely.
Probably not ideal.
Shout out to the Okies and the Midwest people. We got the GOAT, Alex Bojack, live from Tornado Alley. Please stay safe. You know, if you're watching this, you're probably indoors. So in place. Hope you guys are.
If you're watching this from outside, please get inside. Assuming you're in Oklahoma.
Go inside.
In your car. If my power goes off. Phone. Get inside. So,
although if you're out there in a dangerous storm and still supporting, you're a real one. You're one of the true fans.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you are watching this YouTube live right now instead of your local weather broadcast, you're a real one right now.
It may not be the smartest move, but we definitely appreciate it.
We appreciate it. Yep.
Hey, Tierney's right there in the heart of Oklahoma, so you can look.
I should be watching right now. But if my power goes out, that's how I know. Or I actually have a tornado siren that's like 200 yards behind my house right now. So,
there was one of my group chats. Oh, it's actually the Top of Thunder group chat said that sirens are going off in Norman right now. So,
okay. So we're about 10 minutes away from me having to dip out of this broadcast. So,
okay. Quick question. How do tornado sirens, is it like a manual thing? Do they manually set off the tornado sirens, or does it detect something?
No, they manually do it. It's okay. Like, it's based off of like your county, I think.
Okay, gotcha. I was just curious because I've never lived anywhere near where tornadoes are. For me, it's been hurricanes my whole life. So, and those,
if you live in Oklahoma, that's
coming a week away.
Yeah, every Saturday you get a tornado siren. It's nice because you get to know what it sounds like, and then it's like, oh, this is the thing I hear every Saturday.
They sound kind of, from every video I've ever heard or something like that, they sound very eerie.
They're very eerie. Yeah, you should, if you haven't listened to one. We could right now.
Nebraska or like,
I don't know if we should play one right now, because
I was gonna say it's not good right now.
There's gonna be people in the chat. There's gonna be people in the chat that are like watching this, and they're gonna start hearing it on the broadcast and be like, I need to go.
It's like, wait, bad PTSD right now.
Yeah.
See, in Kentucky, we have sirens too. It's not for tornadoes or hurricanes. We have, so like basically like smack dab in the middle of Madison County. Is the Bluegrass Army Depot, and that's where they stored all the nerve gas from World War II. And so, like, whenever, like, back in 9/11, like, there was, like, a list of, like, top 10, like, hot spots, like, for, like, basically, like, watch lists for, like, terrorists to attack or whatever. And we was one of them. Like, freaking Richmond, Kentucky was one of them. So, everybody was on like high alert for like 5 years, like stocking up rations and stuff like that, just ready for like the sirens to go off. Like they still go off every Saturday just to like make sure they're working. But they actually funded an incinerator to like incinerate all the nerve gas, you know, to kind of eliminate that threat. But yeah, that's the sirens that I grew up with.
I don't have any of these sirens. I don't have a nerve gas or tornado siren.
You got a lot of police sirens crazy. Out there in NYC.
That is true. Up here right now, there's police sirens. There's fire trucks that go around. There's
other sirens.
Person who lives like in the building behind my building that screams and sings at random like hours of the night, whether it's 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. So kind of a siren in that regard, I guess. But I guess that's, you know.
Speaking of sirens, you know, there's a lot of sirens in the NBA sports world try to draw you in, try to make you think that the Thunder was a first-round exit. They were the worst one seed of all time. They weren't built for the moment. They were too young. They were too small. And, you know, the series isn't over yet, but it's looking like all those people were wrong. The Thunder are up 3-0, like we mentioned. They won 106-85 against the New Orleans Pelicans. In New Orleans, the first game in the Big Easy. And we're going to talk about it in the segment we call the Single Large Item. All right, Phil, single large item. So, naturally, we're going to go to Tierney first since he missed the last few podcasts. So, no, I'm just kidding. Tierney specifically asked not to. I just wanted to put him on the spot. I'll go first
ready.
On this.
I was ready.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead. Go ahead,
Tierney. No. I don't want to go first because I'm going to – I'm willing to go first, but you're not going to like it.
Dylan, do yourself a lob.
Okay. I'll,
yeah, do yourself a lob.
Listen, I normally go Shea, and I haven't been, like, negative on this guy before. I've just been, like, you know, more frustrated with him. He's, like, our target for frustration literally, like, in the entire rebuild process. But I just want to give a shout-out to Lugans Dort, a man that I have affectionately been calling Glue Dort. The Dortcher Chamber is what he's been called, and Brandon Ingram just calls him Daddy because he has been shutting that man down all series long, playing physical with him, like not even getting through screens, just like not even getting screened, like anticipating the screen, getting around it, like avoiding contact completely, just staying locked in on Brandon Ingram. Ingram had an all right game tonight, 19 points, shot 50%, 7-14, 2-3 from three, but he worked for every bit of that. And a lot of that was off of switches. I think he actually started out the game 1-7 with Lou Dort guarding him. So, and that one was actually Isaiah Joe. Isaiah Joe fouled him on a step through. So yeah, Lou Dort defensively, absolute monster, but I tweeted this out. I said it cannot be overstated how impactful Lou Dort's been in this series. His three-point shooting has been a revelation. Today, he was 4 of 8 from three. And, you know, the last game, I think he was 3 of 6. And then the game before that, he was 33%. You know, obviously, we know he shot 39% from three on the season. So, like, the improvement has been there all season long. But for him to step up in this playoff series, step up in this playoff setting while playing this just lockdown defense, because a lot of times it's one or the other. A lot of times you get all offense and then, you know, you got to slack off on defense. Or you get all defense and you got to slack off on offense. Nah. Lou Dort, it's all energy, all the time, all impact, all the time. Offense, defense, he's bringing it in, he's putting it on. And I just want to give a shout-out. Credit where it's due.
Yeah, Lou's been awesome. I mean, again, we talk about Dortcher Chamber. This is the definition of it. Ingram has really struggled against him. And we talk a lot about Lou and the progression that he's made. And a lot of that discussion, I think, comes on the offensive end because, I mean, obviously, like now he's become – he's gone from someone – and Charles Barkley actually said this at the halftime show. He's like, I'm really proud of him because he went from a guy that they were willingly leaving open to a guy that you have to guard now, and if you don't, he's going to make you pay time and time again. I mean, even today, the Pelicans were getting contests on him, and he was still hitting his threes. He's hitting them at a 60% clip, I think, roughly here in the playoffs. One of the best shooters statistically so far. Obviously, it's early, so that could change, but for the moment, he's been unbelievable. Shot almost 40% on the season from three. He's evolved a lot as a decision maker offensively. His mid-range has gotten a lot better. His finishing, he's improved all over the place, but I think the defense has also changed in some ways too, where now, you know, we watched Lou Dort get kind of torched last year in the playing against Brandon Ingram. where he was kind of struggling against him. And, you know, he was getting great contests, but sometimes against Ingram, it just doesn't matter. But now it feels like he's frustrating him a lot more. He's being physical. He's bumping him. He's fighting around screens. Like, the screen navigation from him and the team as a whole has been some of the best I think I've ever seen from an Oklahoma City Thunder team. It's been unbelievable. And Lou is a big part of that. He's consistently fighting. He's staying engaged on and off ball. It's been a special series from Lou, one of the best all-around defensive efforts I've ever seen from him through these first three games. So we give him a lot of flowers on the offensive end, but I think he deserves his flowers too on the defensive end, because he hasn't just grown offensively. It's been defensively as well. So huge shout out to Lou.
Yeah. A little preview into the notes. I said, Dort will not be screened. That was part of my notes.
He refuses.
He does not want to be screened. So like the fact that, they mentioned in the broadcast, which I wrote it down, but like he just fights through everything and would not get off of Ingram. And then the other part that I want to mention with Dort was in my notes, the incredible 9-0 run. Dort with a pull-up three. And then the other one was a Chet block from Murphy that went into a transition corner three from Dort, where I think that was back-to-back threes from him.
Yeah, he made back-to-back threes. They called a timeout, and then right out of the timeout,
and then made another one. Yep, and then made another one. So he was, I think he was 4-7 in total on the night.
He was something like that. He was four of six from three, 4 of 8 from three.
4 of 8. Okay, yeah. So that's like the best Dort game you could ever have on both ends of the court. Like if he's making 4 threes and locking down Brandon Ingram, you can basically pencil that in for a dub every time.
Yep. All right, Tierney, let's get to you, man. What's your single large item?
The single large item is my notes. I'm going to go through a couple of – I don't want to go through everything because the second half wasn't as interesting, but I just want to mention a couple things that I found. And I'm doing this, by the way, for every playoff game, because I realize in regular season that I forget so many things that I think are interesting to talk about. And I'm hoping this is going to bring it back.
This is what I do for my YouTube videos. I write down notes while I'm watching games and stuff and things to come back to. So this is a good practice. It's helpful. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
Is this how you discovered Casey Wallace's walk in the summer league?
No, I was just, I just had a stupid take, to be honest. Anyway, first note is game mandated team face masks, because the very first play of the game, Jalen Williams got smacked in the face
twice by each of Brandon Ingram's arms, hit him in the face. Yes, it was like a 1-2 punch and no call at all. Just nothing.
No call. So that's both a note and an idea for the team.
Get it to Sam.
Hey, NFL, yeah. NFL this year, they're allowed to have the padded guardian caps on their helmet in game. So not out of the question.
Not out of the question. Talk Roger Goodell to Adam Silver. We'll see. my next note, Kaysen is doing things. Kaysen Wallace came in and just was doing things. He had a great – there was a play where it was like Shea got into – Kaysen at like the free throw ish line, and then he like Chet was cutting and he found Chet for a dunk, and then the next play I think was a corner three. The next play he drives in, it was a busted play, but he gets like a floater. And then just in general, like he keeps plays alive with like tipped rebounds, and that was just happening periodically, so I put that in there. So that was the next note. And then
talking about Kaysen really quick though. I mean, you know, I'll just chime in on your notes here, because you know, you mentioned Dub got hurt and Kaysen played 18 minutes in this game. He was team high from the bench, but you know, you mentioned those two buckets that he had, that three and that runner, like those happened in the first quarter. That was it. That was all he scored. But his impact when Dub went out was huge. So huge, because you know, whenever something like that happens, especially at home, like, and you know, like, obviously, like they showed the stands, there was not as many people in New Orleans as there was in OKC, but they were loud, you know, at the beginning of the game. Like they were into it. And, you know, when something like that happens, like your second best player on the other team goes out, it's easy for the other team to kind of catch a run. But Kaysen came in, and not only did he get those 5 points, he was playing good defense. I think he forced 2 or 3 turnovers at that point. Of course, moving the ball, keeping the ball alive on rebounds. That full court, or that half court alley-oop that CJ had to Trey Murphy, like, Kaysen was right there. Like, great play by Trey Murphy and, like, great pass by CJ, but Kaysen was right there in it, right there in the action. So, yeah, I think that Kaysen's a huge reason, you know, he was able to kind of help us stay afloat while Dub was out. So whenever Dub came in, it was just like, all right, cool, take over, hit the gas.
Yeah, and I think that's a big – it's a big nod to our depth and the versatility of this roster that – because, I mean, as soon as he came back in, you saw how good Dub was. He had an amazing game tonight.
Right.
But the fact that Case was able to come in and we stayed steady, like I think at one point, I think it was Reggie Miller was like, you know, the Pelicans have to feel decent because they're not, you know, not a lot from CJ or Brandon Ingram yet. And they're still like right here in this game. And I was like, well, Dub missed like the entire first quarter. Mm-hmm. And he ended up coming in. And then, of course, we pushed the lead and ended up blowing them out. But credit to Kaysen for coming in and in a moment where we didn't have our second leading score at the beginning of the game when momentum is really important to establish, and he hit a three. He had that little kind of push floater shot as well in the middle of the paint. Played great defense like he always has. So, yeah, huge shout to Kaysen. Just a very nice weapon to have and a good guy to bring in those situations. Like we saw all year, I mean, people would miss time and we'd sub Kaysen into the starting lineup, and we really didn't even miss a beat. So,
yeah. Yeah. I'll skip a few of these things, cause they're not as important, but a couple things I will mention, on my notes here, I have, why do people keep trying to posterize Chet? That's just Tierney,
we wish we knew either. I don't know why people keep trying them.
I have a list of names, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, and Larry Nance Jr. all in the first half. Don't know why they did that. This is before the one that we all saw on Twitter where Trey Murphy tried again and failed.
Trey Murphy's tried like multiple times this season.
I don't know what the deal is. Like they just need to cut it out, is my opinion on that. I don't think he got a block every time on those four, but
he got a block on Trey and Herb, and then on the one on Larry Nance literally stiff armed him, got called for the offensive foul.
Yeah, so the offensive foul, that's right. Yeah, so that's just stop if you're the Pelicans or whoever is playing the Thunder. And then a couple other quick things. I have the spelling of Holmgren, which is how Reggie Miller spelled or pronounced it every night or every time he said it. So just want to mention that was incorrect. And then I have here, I tweeted this out too, but I said, Dub is so good with 4 so's. And I wanted to mention that as well.
Honestly, could have even gone with a fifth.
I was hesitant, but we'll save it for maybe the next series.
Okay, that's
for the fifth one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my last one. Anyway, that's my single large item. It was all of those things that I just said.
Yeah, that's a lot of items. I'll just touch on Chet a little bit here because you mentioned him here. Didn't have a great game shooting, especially if you put him in your parlays. It hurt a lot. Speaking from experience, had 6 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, but 4 blocks, which I think he had 5 blocks and they took it away, which like we need they to have that. A deep dive into Chet's stats and how many blocks he actually should have this season, because I can't tell you how many times he has a certain number and then you look back before the game's over or even the next day and there's 1 or 2 blocks taken away. Just absurd. Makes me very upset. Mm-hmm. But didn't have a great game shooting, but definitely impacted this game, had his hands all over this game. Only plus 11 in box score, plus minus. But again, Jonas Valanciunas was a non-factor in this game. Like basically what he did last game, minus his little 11-0 spurt, or not 11-0, but his 11-point spurt at the beginning of the game. He finished with 7 points, played 12 minutes in this game. And that is because Chet played him off the floor, not even from his shooting. Because, you know, the game before, he was shooting good and Jonas was still on the floor. This game, he wasn't shooting good, and his mobility and his willing to drive to the basket and just made Jonas look old and slow. And he was able to play him off the floor. And if you were able to take him off the floor, that's another big body out there that is creating advantages for you on the glass that is not out there. And, you know, kind of sticking with that, again, for the second game in a row, Thunder out-rebounded the Pelicans 47-45, and the Pelicans only got two more offensive rebounds than us, 11-9.
Yeah, it was. I always thought it was weird when there were people talking about how the Thunder were going to have problems with Jonas, as if he didn't get played off the court in our previous matchups, and he wasn't going to get played off the court again. It's exactly what happened. It's like people didn't really watch the games that we played against them. I don't know. I just saw some people saying it was going to be a massive problem. It was never going to be an issue for us. You know, he can have his big moments, but you're not going to get away with that against this team. He's just way too slow-footed. He can't keep up with the pace that we move at. I think the Pelicans in general just need a new starting center, and especially wasn't going to work against the Thunder out of all teams. So, you know, it's nice to see that we were right in that regard. But yeah, I mean, Chet was probably going to be my single large item, what he's done so far throughout these playoffs. Obviously, again, only three games. But some interesting stats. Both these coming from StatMuse. Shout out to them over there. Chet Holmgren, this series has 11 blocks. The Pelicans as a team have 10. So Chet is currently out-blocking the entire Pelicans roster. You also have the fact that there is only one player with at least 10 blocks in the playoffs so far, and it is Chet Holmgren, who, again, has 11. He's a rookie. Shouldn't be able to do this type of stuff. And even when he's not shooting, the impact is insane. I don't know if the Pelicans, when Chet's been out there, have gotten a single clean look at the rim this entire series. If they have, it's been like three, because his impact is undeniable. Even if you get a layup to go, it's not easy because Chet is down there. He's lurking. He's causing so many problems left and right. Just an unbelievably special player. And again, this is stuff that a rookie is doing. He still could probably put on a bit more weight. He could have a bit more experience with the NBA physicality. It's just been incredibly impressive from Chet, his ability to impact the game on the defensive end. And I guess I'll expand my single large item even beyond him, because we just talked about him for a moment. I think this Thunder defense as a whole deserves so much credit for what they've done. And people talk about it sometimes, but the fact that one of the youngest teams in the league is playing defense at this type of level, it's nearly unheard of. And it isn't just, you know, Chet, as great as he is, like, he is the anchor of the whole thing, but it's also Lu Dort, who we talked about earlier. It's Shai, who's continuously improved as a defender. J-Dub, who I think we talked about last episode, his growth on the defensive end. Wallace. It's J-Will being a big physical body. There was one possession in this one where Jonas kept trying to back him down over and over and over again, and then airballed on like a little hook shot that he went for against J-Will, which, you know, that shows his physicality, his ability to kind of stand up to him there. It's Aaron Wiggins and Kenrich and Isaiah Joe holding his own. Even, you know, Giddey had some pretty solid defensive possessions throughout this game, and I feel like he has throughout the series. He's one of the weaker overall defenders on the roster, but I think he's had some moments. Like, Gordon Hayward doesn't look at the basket that much to score, but I feel like defensively he's been pretty good in this series. So just everybody's locked in. And against this Pelicans team, like, I know they don't have Zion, but even still, to hold an opponent so far to 92, 92, and then 85 points, it's ridiculous. Like, in the modern NBA, you don't win a lot of games scoring just 106 like the Thunder did today, but you do when you hold the team to less than 92 points or 92 points or less in every single game. It's you're not going to win many games when you score 85. It's been very impressive from the Thunder, the way that they've shut down Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum, who's on a tear to end the season, by the way. Like, he was playing some of the best basketball he's played as a Pelican, and it hasn't mattered because the Thunder have so many defensive answers for everybody. They built a team where it's very rare you can find somebody on the court to pick on, because almost every other team out there, it feels like there's one guy that teams can really look at and say, we're going to go at that guy relentlessly. You know, with the Mavericks, a lot of time it's been Luka, although credit to him, he's really stepped it up defensively against the Clippers in this series. With the Nuggets, sometimes it's Nikola Jokic. They'll go at him a lot and, you know, try and take advantage of that. If they have someone with size, they'll go up against Jamal Murray. The Thunder don't really have that guy very often. You know, if Giddey's out there, they typically go at him, but having Chet down low and all these crafty wing defenders to force turnovers makes that pretty difficult. So as much as we talk about the great offense of, like, you know, Shai and Dub and Chet and just these ridiculous three-point shooters all over the place, we don't look as good as we do right now if the defense wasn't one of the best in the world. So
yeah, and just kind of talking about that, you mentioned CJ, because, you know, we talked about Brandon Ingram, but, you know, like you said, I don't think people realize how good CJ McCollum was down the stretch of the season. I just looked it up. His last eight games, he was averaging 30.1 points per game on, let me find this efficiency really fast. Wow. Where to go.
Insane.
My phone decided to.
That alone is insane.
30 points per game on 49.3 field goal percentage, 52.5 3-point percentage. In this series, in three games, he's averaging 17 points per game on 37% from the three or from the field goal and 22.7 from three.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, again, that was something that it was like, okay, the Thunder have to find a way to slow down CJ coming into this. They've done it without a problem. It hasn't been difficult at all. So,
yeah. Shout out Reggie Miller saying after CJ came off of a screen and Dort got caught up on it, he's like, they might have figured out something. He can use his quickness to get by Lou Dort. He can't stay with him. Didn't happen again the entire game. So, shout out Reggie Miller with a
shout out Reggie.
Just another gem of a moment.
Yeah, I think the Chet Holmgren pronunciation changed every single time, I think, throughout the game. I want to give a huge shout out to Jamal Crawford, who's been a couple games recently, and he's been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jamal's been really good on these broadcasts. I feel like he has, like, because you'll see a lot of time with, like, commentators where they'll have, like, these little moments, especially like, former players. And sometimes it's like unhelpful or not super interesting. But with Jamal Crawford, I feel like the moments where he mentions something, it feels like he, I don't know, it just seems like a bit more like I feel like I'm getting some cool insights. And also, I feel like he's just more in tune with the modern NBA, I feel like. Like, he'll talk about the players and it seems like he knows actually what he's talking about and what each of this guy's tendencies are and stuff. So I don't know. I think he's done awesome on this, not just this broadcast, but he was also on the, I think it was the Suns Timberwolves game the other night, if I remember correctly, or one of the Lakers Nuggets games. But Jamal Crawford's been really, really good. So shout out to him for that.
Shout out Jamal Crawford, Jay Crossover. I just want to mention on Shea, you know, he had an okay game. He had 24 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals, and a block. You know, ho hum, whatever. 8 of 20 from the field, 1 of 5 from deep, 7 of 9 from the stripe. But I just wanted to give a shout out to, I think it was his last bucket that he made before he came out. Herb Jones, obviously, everybody talks about Herb Jones being this phenomenal defender, the Shea stopper. You know, he hasn't been a Shea stopper all year long. Like, Shea's kind of got his all year long. It was the year before that he gained his like reputation as a Shea stopper. And I know that the Pelicans were kind of pushing the whole not on Herb movement as like a first team all defense campaign for Herb Jones, which absolutely deserves it. If you look at what he's done this year as a defender, I think he deserves first team all defense, Cone. You know, obviously you're an NBA correspondent. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I believe I did have Herb on my all defensive first team. So
okay. I thought so, but I wanted to make sure before I said that. But anyway.
No, he's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, Shea's always been putting up numbers. It was a little bit lower today with 24 points, but that last one, man, I don't think I've ever seen Herb so lost on like a one-on-one defensive play as Shea had him. You know, got him out to the three-point line, got a little shake and bait between the legs, drove in, gave the step back, and Herb was like literally so confused, and Shea like just did like a leaning in, like mid-range shot, just dropped it in. Money in the bank. Worldwide Wob, Rob Perez tweeted out the clip, and of course I had to quote tweet it. Mm-hmm. I said, "Is this your not on Herb?" Because like he made him look like just an average defender. And I will say, you know, Shea didn't have the best game. You know, like I said, I kind of joked around with the whole home. Najee Marshall walled him off a couple times in the first half, but it feels like Shea has done a really good job of countering and finding ways to be effective against Herb Jones, even though he is a first team all defender. But you know, I mean, again, come NBA correspondent, like, is Herb Jones the best one-on-one defender that Shea might encounter in this playoff run?
He's definitely up there. There's gonna be no one better on Dallas or LA, especially with Kawhi
if he was healthy. Yeah.
Yeah, being hurt. But I mean, even then, like, Kawhi's not the defender he used to be. He was a lot better this season, but yeah, no, I think Herb's probably got his number there at this point. Going up against, like, Jaden McDaniels could be a pretty interesting guy with the length he has if we played the Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. But I think Herb and him are kind of close. I think Herb might be a little bit better because Shea, I feel like, struggles a bit more with, like, those physical kind of guys, and Jaden McDaniels is a bit more lengthy as opposed to the physicality that Herb brings. So that would be interesting. Going up against the Nuggets, like if KCP has played all defensive level defense this season, I don't think he's going to make a team, but he's been at that level. But I think Herb just being a bigger body is someone that can give him more problems because Shea can probably just kind of shoot over KCP a lot of times. Aaron Gordon is a pretty tough one as well. But I do think looking at it, Herb is one of the toughest defenders that Shea's going to have to face. And also this Pelicans team, I think, finished as the sixth ranked defense, if I remember correctly, in the entire league this season. So in terms of team defense, that's also like a big thing. And that's not really a loss for them with the Zion situation because Zion's not a great defender. Like he has some moments and his athleticism can give you problems, but he's not this great defender that is going to drastically drop off their defense. So Shea's cooking one of the best defenses in the league right now with one of the best perimeter defenders in the entire NBA. And he's done a really good job. Like you said, it wasn't his best game today, but overall in the series, he's been very, very effective. And even if he's not getting his, he's setting up others with ease. I feel like his playmaking has been fantastic in a number of these games. Yeah, like game one, I think was a little bit shaky, but once they settled in games two and three, it's been pretty easy. And Shea also just didn't really have to get his tonight. Like I think he could have had 30 pretty comfortably if we didn't blow them out to the point where Shea probably didn't even need to come back in, but he did for a couple of minutes, missed a couple of free throws. For some reason, the technical free throw thing continues to happen with Shea where he just can't seem to hit those T free throws. I don't know what it is.
Biggest nemesis.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I think this is one of the toughest defenses he's going to have to face. Unless we face Minnesota, we're not facing a tougher defense than this, or at least not a tougher individual defender. So Shea's doing a great job.
And Minnesota will have to go through Denver if it comes to that. So
yeah, so we'll see what happens there. That series is going to be incredible, by the way. I'm really happy because I've been saying for a while, I think the ideal path is having Minnesota and Denver face each other at some point to just beat up. Because if there's any team that I think could give Denver a lot of problems en route to us, it would be Minnesota with their physicality. And hey, they're about to sweep Phoenix, who a lot of people picked to win that series. So
yeah, and you know, you kind of mentioned Jalen Williams. I was kind of want to read his stats here. You know, 21 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 9 of 16 shooting, 3 of 4 from deep, basically in 3 quarters, basically in 2.5 quarters. Like, Dub was absolutely insane. There was one that was like a hot potato. He got the ball with like 2 seconds left on the shot clock, and he shot a step back follow-away 3-pointer, and it went in, like, it barely even touched the net. I was like, what is happening right now, man?
Yeah, he took over from 3 in that one stretch. Yeah, I mean, he got hit in the face. He went back to the locker room for a little bit, came back out, was immediately on fire. He didn't miss a single step when he came back in. I said in the post-game interview with Nick Gallo, the one that they rushed over to before the TNT interview.
Yeah.
And Nick Gallo was like, you know, are you good? And he's like, or it might have been Ali LaForce that asked him afterwards, but he was like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, I just kind of got hit in the eye, just went to the back for a moment, but I was okay. So good to hear that Dub's good. And like Tierney said, maybe we need to invest in team-wide face masks or like force fields around their heads or something like that, because I don't think any team has gotten hit in the face at the level that the Thunder have this season, whether it was Dub or Chet or, you know, Shea. Yeah. This team just for some reason gets hit in the face a lot. I don't know what it is, but yeah, maybe it's because we are a little bit smaller than other teams. So we're at like their elbows. So they're just throwing them and hitting us in the face. Maybe that's it.
Could be it. Yeah.
It would be an awesome look to, you know, just walk out there with masks, just like a whole
Richard Hamilton face masks. Yeah.
I do want to give a shout out to Josh Giddey. 21 points.
He was good.
8 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 8 of 13 shooting, and 4 of 7 from deep.
He was having a 3-point contest out there. It was crazy.
If Lou Dort and Josh Giddey are shooting like this for our entire playoff run,
unstoppable, dude.
Who's going to stop us?
No one.
Yeah, I mean, Giddey was shooting with confidence and rhythm, contested. Yeah, I mean, not really hesitating, which is great. That's exactly what we need to see from Giddey if we want to keep him out there for extended minutes. He's got to be shooting like that. I felt like his rebounding was good today. His playmaking was pretty solid. He had that one just insane fast break against CJ McCollum where he had like the behind the back and then
the Euro. Like
1-2 Euro and put it in. They were going crazy calling it a Jamal Crawford move. I don't know if I'd go that far with this.
Like, I think it was like, just because Jamal Crawford was there.
Exactly.
I
don't think they're like, Jamal, that's like one of your moves. I'm like, all right, let's pump the brakes a little bit. But
he's probably sitting there like, maybe not.
Yeah. But I mean, it was good. You know, it was nice to see him show off the handle a little bit. I thought Giddey was really good today. Definitely the best game he's played so far in the series. Not even close.
Oh, he had the giddy shuffle where he does the double in and out and just shuffles his feet, and but pulled up midi and he made it. And I was like, yeah,
that's a
vocal. I don't understand, man. I don't understand.
He's also kind of like the thing that I think can be consistent for him in these playoff series is that, like, when Shea finds him in like the less than 5 foot range, but not enough to make a layup, he just kind of does like the floater. Mm-hmm. Those seem to be more consistent recently. So
yeah, he's definitely been hitting those. I like, there was a couple times, I think in game two, if I remember right, where he was hitting that, or maybe it was game one. Mm-hmm. Just a couple, like, two. Especially when like the Pelicans threw that zone at us. Like, that was one of our ways of busting that, was having someone down low like that and just hitting that quick little push shot floater after rifling a pass down there to kind of mess up the zone a little bit. Which also, I want to give a shout out to Mark. He's coached circles around Willie Green in this series. It's not even been close. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw one Pelicans fan coach that was really mad, but yeah, he'll actually get that award tomorrow, which is dope. Huge shout out to Mark for that. Yeah, there was one Pelicans fan that was like, I'm so mad because we're sitting here down 0-3 and I feel like we haven't made one adjustment, and Mark Daigneault's out there still making adjustments and they're winning 3-0, and I still see him making changes. Like, it's true. You know, we're up 3-0 and we've been adjusting things, you know, changing up how we do things. They did try one adjustment, the Pelicans today, where they put CJ McCollum on Dort so that would be a matchup that maybe happened a bit more in like transition, or if it was like a quick turnaround, Dort wasn't able to get back over to Brandon Ingram. And yeah, that was the one play that Dylan talked about where they got a bucket and Reggie Miller's like, they might've figured something out. I mean, Dort just started switching quicker over to Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
It was perfectly fine. But yeah, I feel like they haven't really tried much. I guess there's not really much they can do. They're limited without Zion and they just don't have a team that can really compete with what we have over here. So, you know, even though I don't think he's done a great job coaching, they also just have kind of limited tools compared to the Thunder. So,
yeah, we did a really, really good adjustment from game one to limiting Trey Murphy open three pointers. You know, he hasn't even shot as many. Like, he had 5 tonight. I think he had 6 the last game. He's only made 2 in both of the last 2 games compared to the 5 he made game one. So I think that's been a huge adjustment for us because, you know, if Trey Murphy's hitting those threes, then it opens up their offense completely. Herb Jones also shot 1-6 today from 3. So if both of those guys are missing, you're probably going to have a hard day at the office. And also, you know, you mentioned like not having many options. Jose Alvarado is like just an energizer bunny. He was huge in the Lakers game and the play-in. That they ended up losing, but, you know, like just providing a spark off the bench and, you know, his infectious energy, like he was a huge lift for him, and he hasn't been able to, you know, find that spark against the Thunder, ironically.
Yeah. They got mismatches on J-Dub a couple times there. It was like, yeah, he can't be on the court defensively.
Yeah, they called an offensive foul on Shea for like a shoulder bump. And I was like, dude, he didn't even do a full forearm extension. Like, he's just small.
Yeah, it was like a little, like, kind of, at the most, it was like a little chicken wing kind of thing where he just like, his arm almost seemed like it came off just because he stopped quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a question. I think that was the second foul too early in the first quarter. Yeah, that was a questionable call for sure.
Oh, well, we're up 3-0. We're out of sweep. It's okay.
Well, yeah, it's all right.
But speaking of that, we may be one of only 2 teams that sweep because the Lakers are about to win, it looks like.
Oh!
They're up 9, 42 seconds left.
Could they be the first team to come back from 3-0? Could they do it?
I'm starting to see tweets that are saying, like, if there's anyone who could come back, it's LeBron. I'm like, guys, we need to calm down. We need to
calm down. They're going to start photoshopping. Start photoshopping LeBron's face on who was it, Jaylen Brown or Jimmy Butler? I said, don't let us get one.
Yeah, I think I saw that earlier today, even when Lakers fans were like being sarcastic, like, wait till we win this game. But maybe they start coming out seriously now. I don't know. Yep, I mean,
they're thinking about it now.
Might just be us and Minnesota that pull off the sweeps, potentially. We'll see if Minnesota does it.
Yeah. And yeah, unfortunately for Lakers fans, it's going back to Denver after this one. So,
yeah,
good luck with that.
But hey, nobody beats the Los Angeles Lakers 12 games in a row.
Nobody.
It hasn't maybe been done. Nuggets. Well done.
Well, maybe it's been done at some point, but not now. Not by these Denver Nuggets.
Not in recent memory.
Not tonight. All right, boys. Yeah, the last thing I just kind of want to say, just shout out to the three-headed monster off the bench once again. All year long, Casey Wallace, Isaiah Joe, and Aaron Wiggins have just been providing spark offensively, defensively. They've been great. And also, shout out to Jalen Williams, who had a nice little running hook and also a trail three-pointer. Those, you know,
I had that.
Two shots notes. Up, two shots down. We got a big boom. We got the hook. And obviously
the hook was sick, by the way. That was
– it
running 90s hook, OMG. That was
amazing. Yeah, it was like running too. Like that was,
he,
was impressive.
He did that last year against them in the play-in. I don't know what it is about.
Like? Looks like Xavier Simpson, but like much larger.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing.
I mean, hey man, the spirit of Kareem has—it's become part of Jalen Williams, and we're gonna start seeing hook shots specifically in New Orleans. It feels like, because I think those are the only two times I can remember him. Or I think he did one against Philly at one point, actually, but for some reason against New Orleans. In
Philly,
New Orleans.
He had the Dr. J move.
Yes, he had that as well against Philly. For some reason, I thought I also remember a hook shot because my brother was like, bro, why is J. Will hitting the most insane layups on us ever? So,
That's tough.
He's got his bum.
All right, fellas. Well, yeah, like we said, Thunder win. We're up 3-0. We will play Monday. I saw they announced the time.
7:30 Central.
Okay, cool. So that's 8:30
my time. Going down normal time.
Yeah, it's an hour earlier, Tierney. Calm down.
It's way better for me.
But yeah, no, it will be in New Orleans. Once again, Big Izzy gets one more chance to redeem themselves. Yeah, shout out to New Orleans fans for leaving the game like in the fourth quarter. Like, couldn't be the Thunder, by the way. Like, just wouldn't do that.
So. Also, shout to Thunder fans because you could hear audible OKC chant with the broadcast as well.
Yep.
All throughout the game at different points when the Thunder were going off. And each of the guys in the postgame interview credited the crowd, saying that they traveled well, that they really felt the love even though they were on the road in New Orleans. It's what Loud City does. Loud City travels.
Yep, they were barking too. Did you guys see the video I posted? Nova was barking.
I saw that you posted good it. Bark. I didn't get to watch it, though. He needs
to get a little more like like
some bass in his voice, mark,
but that his bass needs to improve. But he's got a good start.
Yeah. We're like just getting so started. It was more of a howl than a bark.
It was like a coyote howl.
Yeah. But yeah, no. Thunder play Pels on Monday. I will definitely be here once again with the post game. But yeah, I mean vibes are high. I think. Let's just do predictions, guys. We think it's sweep.
Yeah, I haven't.
It's either 4-0 or 4-1.
I haven't seen anything from the Pelicans that makes me think they're going to bring this thing back. Like, it's not like it's been. I mean, right now, even with LA versus Denver, like a few of the games were close where they just avoided the sweep. We've outside of game one, where again we played like our worst basketball ever. These past two games, it hasn't even been close. I just don't think they have the firepower to keep up. I think the Thunder sweep win, maybe not quite as much as they did tonight, but I think they have a double-digit win in game four and get out of there real quick, which would be cool because if we win that, we'll have a week off before we play another game. So we'll get a big break between them. Play the winner of Dallas versus LA, which, you know, it'll be interesting. I still do think I'd rather play LA than Dallas because Kawhi Leonard's clearly not himself. Luka, I've liked a lot of what I've seen from him defensively. I do think Dallas is going to win that series. And I mean, that'll be a fun one. It'll be Lou going up against Luka. How do they slow down Shea? PJ Washington is their stopper at this point, and he's been pretty good so far, but I don't know how he's going to hold up against what we've got going on over here. Luka hasn't been great getting to the rim at all throughout this series against LA. How's he going to do that against, you know, our defenders with Chet down low? It's going to be interesting. I mean, it's a fun one between two of the best guards, the two all-NBA first-team guards. So should be a good time.
From the same draft, too.
From the same draft as well, battle of the 2018 draft. The winner gets best in the draft title. I don't make the rules.
There we go. I like
unless the Thunder lose, then that doesn't count.
That's not the rules anymore.
I don't make the rules.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Hasn't the Mavericks guarded Shea with Derrick Jones Jr. this year?
I think they did. Yeah. Yeah, I think they did. And I mean, he's a pretty good defender. He'll be an interesting guard to go up against, or not guard, but an interesting guy guarding Shea is what I meant.
Yeah,
to go up against. But I think, I mean, I'm not really worried about Derrick Jones Jr. Shea, to be honest. I think he'll be fine. Really, to me, it's just a matter of how do we hold up against Luka? Like, can, you know, how will Lu Dort hold up? And I think Luka is like someone that Lu can actually play pretty well against. I think the guys Lu struggles against the most are like the really quick guards, and Luka's not that guy. He's just that physical type of player.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we see what he's doing against Ingram, who has a lot of size on him. Luka's also going to have kind of that size advantage. So I think Dort's up to the challenge. I'm excited to see what we do. And yeah, I mean, we're going to have the coach of the year officially tomorrow. So we'll see what he schemes up against them, assuming it is them. Clippers aren't out of it yet, but I don't know. They just have not, like, in game one, they won convincingly. And then games two and three, I wasn't super impressed. So
yeah, it'll be a very different defensive assignment than what we was been doing against New Orleans. But
yeah, way different. You know,
like, obviously, Luka's going to get his no matter who's guarding him. But, like, in terms of, like, making him work for it, Lu Dort will absolutely make him work for it. I will ask you guys this, you know, I mean, we can get more into it, you know, once our series is concluded and if we know, like, who's going to be our next matchup. But do you think it makes sense to play Dort and Kaysen and maybe bring Giddy off the bench so you can have those guys guarding Luka and Kyrie?
I'm cool with it. I wonder if we would put, I'm trying to think of, like, because their lineup, obviously they're going to have Gafford out there, so Chet will be on him.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be, I guess, Dub on PG Dub Washington. On PG.
Yeah.
Maybe Shea on Derrick Jones Jr. Or I guess Giddy on him if he starts, and then Shea would guard one of Luka or Kyrie. But Kyrie. We don't want Shea to get exhausted or anything like that. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. If that's, like, say they start torching us, that's an adjustment I wouldn't mind making. It is interesting. I guess maybe we just have, like, Giddy kind of play off of Derrick Jones Jr. a little bit, because he can shoot, but he has been kind of up and down this season. He hasn't been, like, this hyper-reliable shooter. And if he's beating us with threes, then I guess, you know, you kind of live with that, I guess. So maybe we have, like, Giddy play off of him a little bit and just, you know, he's not, like, the most effective roaming defender or anything, but just provide more resistance inside in case someone gets by. So I don't know. It's interesting. They're a way different team to scheme for, like you said, because with the Pelicans, it's just stop Ingram and CJ and you're probably pretty good. And don't give Trey Murphy wide open threes. With them, you have to figure out how you slow down maybe one of the best offensive players in the world in Luka, as well as the shooters that they put around him. You have to prevent the lob threat too. I don't know. They're going to be a whole different challenge. And to me, that's when it gets really interesting for Mark, because I think he's done a phenomenal job in this series, but obviously we're just way better than the Pelicans. We're going to be playing a team that's pretty good with the Mavericks. I'm interested to see what he brings out, because like I said, coming into the playoffs, I think Mark's going to have some crazy schemes and, like, plays and stuff ready for this playoff run. I think he's got some weird stuff cooked up, so it'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, we learned, what was it, yesterday or the day before, Lu Dort said there's a defensive group chat within the team, and it's got Dort, Kaysen, Wiggs, Keyontae Johnson, and David Akinyoye, the assistant coach. So, who knows, man? Maybe we'll get some Keyontae Johnson out there. That'd be fun. Feet and fire. I don't think he's eligible. He's a two-way player, but anyways.
Put Ooze in.
Give me some Usman Jang.
Bring him back.
Kind of disappointed not to see him tonight, but, you know, that's besides the point. Anyways,
The G League MVP. He's chilling. Let him rest for a little bit.
He's got to rest. He's smoking his cigars.
G League Finals MVP, baby. Next year's the year for Ooze, I've decided.
Jang gang, baby. We're with it.
Gang.
But, yeah, no, it'll be interesting. We'll talk about the potential Mavericks matchups. We'll talk about potential Clippers matchups. We'll talk about the Thunder sweeping the Pelicans, as our guy Cooper Adams says here at the bottom. We're going to be bringing out the broom in the next episode. Way to go, Tierney.
Got a sweep.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. Good form. We'll be bringing out the broom on Monday, hopefully. And, keep locked in with us. Shout out to Tierney. Jumping back in on the socials. Absolutely killing it. At OKC Topic Thunder on Twitter. Give us a follow if you are not following. Follow us and subscribe anywhere you're listening to your podcast. Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever it is. Subscribe, leave a five-star rating, positive review. We would appreciate that very much. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please do us the kindness. I don't know my voice cracked there. Do us the kindness of liking the video. Subscribe to the channel. We are nearing that 500 mark. I think after 500, we will officially have to change our theme song. But, you know, we'll get there. Mm-hmm. And then leave a comment. Which team would you rather play in the second round, Mavericks or Clippers? Let's get some interaction going on that.
Interesting.
So, hope everybody has a great night, has had a good time during the playoffs, is safe from the tornado. Mm-hmm. And yeah, God bless. Hoop when you can. And as always, thunder up.
Thunder up.
Thunder up.
Count. I need more of that, brother.
Pregnant pop.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.